So, basically, this is as the sheet says, I wouldn't say implied, because it's quite explicit. This is the second part of the two-part series, as it were, the introduction to Kinyanim, which, you know, in terms of acquisition, but I decided to talk about, if you will, the moral ethical aspect of it first, and then which is reflected by what happens, what is the halakhic response and view in terms of people who are backing out of their commitments as an underpinning for what those commitments are in the first place. And so if last week we focused on a situation where, well, I'll ask you, what's the difference between a situation where we are talking about where we get what is called the Gemara, the Mishapara, right? The Mishapara, Anche Dor Mav, Anche Dor Flaga, as opposed to the question that we're going to be talking about today in terms of Mechusrei Amana. What's the, succinct way, what is the difference between when one is we talking about there's a Mishapara as opposed to when we're talking about a question of Mechusrei Amana? And you can translate the terms as well. Yeah.
The difference would be whether or not the situation changed.
Not exactly. We'll talk about the situation changing in a moment, but that's not the key factor here. When do you get a Mishapara? Yeah.
Get a Mishapara, I think, if there was money that changed hands, but the property didn't change hands. But in this case, it's just an oral agreement.
Exactly. I'll read it on the head. Basically, when we're talking about a situation where not necessarily money changing hands, so that's the classical case, but that some action has been done. Right? In other words, we talked about the possibility last week if you have, if the wholesaler has written off on his records that a certain lot has been set aside for a particular retailer, that would also constitute a non-binding action, but the action nevertheless, as opposed to a situation where there's just a verbal agreement. Okay, that's the where the situation gives you the indication that there's an agreement, without there being some kind of clear-cut expression of that commitment. So here as I said, the classic case always says, it's a question of if I've given money over, and when we start next week, we start talking about the Kinyan, we'll probably start with Kinyan Ma'od, Kinyan Kesef, that why shouldn't that be considered a binding Kinyan? But we'll leave that aside. But it's a Kinyan is done, or something is done, and it just isn't binding legally. But so if you back out of that, that's different than if you backed out of an oral agreement. Okay, so we're talking about Mechusrei Amana. What does the term Mechusrei Amana mean, by the way? Literally.
Lack of faith,
right? So that's a bad faith. The literally mechusar,
lacking,
amana,
faith.
Right? We'd say faith, but in terms of the, what does the word aleph mem nun mean in Hebrew? When you say emuna, by the way, this is just an important thing to keep in mind when you talk about emuna.
Affirm.
Okay. What's it? So it translates as.
Agreement.
As faith, but really it means what?
Agreeing
true.
Or affirming.
When you say amen after bracha, what do you say?
Affirm.
It's true. Amen is another word for truth. Right? Emet and amen are basically the same word. Right? So when you're, let's say, if you were to have a total English translation of, let's say, Kriyat Torah, so after the bracha it would be, that's true! Right, that's basically what that amen means, right? That's true. So when, in fact, it's a relatively recent, this is just an aside, a relatively recent phenomena that articles of faith are different than both in terms of the usage of the word as well as in terms of the way that we think of them. different than actual truth. When the Rambam talks about the his idea of emunah, right? So by almost by definition today, that's because of Kant, right, who disproved all of the proofs of God's existence. So basically, that the when we speak of emunah, right, we speak of faith, right? I don't have faith that there is a shtender under my elbow right now, and as a result, I'm not falling over, right, as I lean into it, right? I realize if I'm Cartesian, I would say I don't really know what's there, but I'm not talking about that. But I know that there is this, right, there's this shtender underneath me, and that's what's holding me up, okay? But do I know that God is in the room? So I'll say no, but I have faith that God is in the room, right? But for the Rambam and for everyone before Kant, basically, who felt you could prove God's existence. So when he was talking about Munah, yes, it's as firmly known that God is in the room as is the idea. Just I have to show you why that's the case. As there is a this shtender right in front of me. Yeah, but okay, that's the side. So when they talk Mechusrei Emunah, right? So it changes things because it's a lack of faith. Right, so means that okay, you could have a certain expectation, right? If I have faith, right? If I have faith in God, so basically saying that I have very good reasons to believe it, but I can't prove it, right? Today, right? So similarly, lack of faith, you can't prove it. But if on the other end you're talking about emunah, meaning a lack of trust. Right? If there's a truth, I mean, trust and truth are obviously coming from the same word. There's this idea that yes, what I say, right? To quote, right, Rabbeinu Horton, right? I said what I meant, and I meant what I said. I said what I meant, and elephant's faith, 100%. Right. So that is a part of this as well. Right. I said what I meant, and that has a truth factor, which is even the words mechusrei amanah, right? I have violated. It's lacking in that truth, right? So that's a slightly different way of looking at it when we take a look at the Gemara, and that's only based on a verbal commitment to do something. So let's take a look at the Gemara with that in mind, so we can have get a sense of what the sugya is talking about. So let's take talk about different problems that arise. We'll also talk about what Sam's point, what happens if situations change, etc. So let's take a look at the Gemara. Okay. So we start it's from the overall sugya. It's in the middle, but from our perspectives, it's close enough to the beginning. We can understand. Rav Kahana, everyone have it? About 12 lines down from the top of the page. Rav Kahana Yahavule Zuze Akitna. So Rav Kahana gave money Akitna. What is Akitna? For what?
Linen.
For linen, right? Kitin, that's where the source of the word cotton comes from, even though they weren't referring to cotton necessarily, but that's where it comes from. It's a... it's also in Hebrew. Here it's in the Aramaic, etc. So he gave money to purchase linen. Lisof aikirkin. So the price of cotton went up. Atalakame de Rav. So he came to Rav with the halacha question. Right, he'd given some money, but it was a down payment. That's the sugya that we're not going to talk about now. We will Bezrat Hashem reach. What is the halachic view of down payments and the like? So here he had given this money, but apparently not all of the money. Right? And so now Rav's response was, Amarle bimad nekitad zuze havluhu. So you have made a purchase for the amount of money, let's say 20% or so of the. Of the purchase has been already transpired because you gave that amount of money, and on the rest of it, the idach, the rest, dvarim ninhu, dvarim en behem mishum chusrei emunah. So that's just the commitment. It was what you gave the money to, right? So that you have to you have to fulfill. That 20% is you're iron bound to that commitment. But the other is just, you know, talk is cheap. Ein behem mishum chusrei amana. Doesn't have a violation of faith in that regard. Okay? Now, had he backed out, by the way, just keep in mind, had he backed out of the other 20%, the first 20% that he had the money, what would that be? Could he back out of that?
No.
Legally?
Oh, yes.
Who says yes? Who says no? How many? I want to see every hand up. How many people say yes, he could back out of that? How many people say they can't back out of it? Okay, so people don't listen to the Rosh Hashiva. I said every hand has to be up. So, okay, fine. So you can all leave now. Oh, so, okay, fine. So what's the... So of course he could back out. Why could he back out? Because it's a kinyan ma'od, right? We said ma'od, this cotton is a, or linen, is not a, is a commodity. It's not real estate. The kinyan of ma'od, he's only given the money. He hasn't taken possession of the item yet. But if he were to back out of that 20%, what would he get? The mishapara. Right, so Rav says, listen, when it comes to the curse, right, this commitment that you've done an action, that you're back, the action, though, only applies to the 20% of the purchase price. Because you pay 20%. But that was the down payment. But the rest is only a verbal commitment. Now, the question that Rav Kahana had, you can understand it from this perspective. Rav Kahana said, I know the Mishnah. I know the Mishapara. Right? That, he wouldn't ask the question. My question is only because I didn't give the full purchase price. Had I given the full purchase price, I wouldn't be asking, can I back out? Of course I could back out if I want a curse, but I really don't want a curse, so I'm not going to back out. But here I didn't give the full purchase price. Is that enough by virtue of the fact that I simply gave some of the money? That was the question. So Rav Kahana said, okay, we are going to split it between the percentage of the commodity that you have, that is the equivalent value of the money that you've given, as opposed to the rest that you haven't, okay? So you understand. So now that, so on this 80%, it's only Dvarim, and Dvarim, Ein B'Shem Chusrei Amana, you're scot clean, okay? Fine. And then, the Gemara says the following, Di Itmar. I purposely stress that Dalet, by the way. I'm going to come back to the Dalet in a moment. Di Itmar. Dvarim, Rav Amar, Ein Behem Mishum Chusrei Amana, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Yesh Behem Chusrei Amana. Because there is a standing machloket, Rav is one of the protagonists, that there is a question of this case. If you have a verbal commitment, is this considered to be bad faith by backing out? Have I made some kind of commitment in doing so? And Rabbi Yochanan says, yes, that is Mechusrei Amana. Rav says that there isn't. Okay, well, so what would the nafka mina be between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan? Sorry,
the stuff he hadn't given the money.
Okay, on the stuff. But in, let's say without a down payment. I simply said, right, I'm going to, we come to terms, you know, in terms of selling, I've had this actually occur a couple of times. Made agreement with, well, this was one time many years ago. I came to an agreement with a real estate developer to purchase an apartment, right? They changed the purchase price, right? We even shook hands on it. We hadn't signed the contract. And the next day he raised the price by, you know, he decided to raise the price by 30%. Right? So I said, you can't do that. Right? We made an agreement on a certain price, right? Chusrei Amana. It didn't seem to bother him too much. But what, legally, could he back out? Halachically?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, what, so what's the Chusrei Amana? If you can legally back out, what's the difference? And there's no Bishapara, right? No curses that baked in. What's the difference? So, is there a commitment, even though, if this gets back to what we spoke about, and this was the basis for all of this discussion, what that Ramban that we looked at last week, right? Shouldn't forget that. Because that is so core to what we're talking about. Asita hayashavato b'nei Hashem Elokecha. are you doing something, right? I have nothing to do with him over the last, this was, how many years ago was it? 29 years ago? So I haven't had anything to do with him in the ensuing 29 years, right? So I don't know whether, you know, all is well with him or not. Right? So would it be has he done something which is upright and true in the and good in the eyes of God?
No.
So the answer is
no.
Machloket. Rav says, sure, he's fine. Ein bahem mishum chaser amana. Right? A handshake isn't really a deal in these kind of circumstances. He's fine. Ein bahem mishum chaser amana. He wants to get more profit. Will I invite him for coffee? Maybe not. But the rest of it is fine. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, he is a bad person. And since we are involved in the, you know, we're involved in ethics, so we say that basically he's an unethical person. Now you could say, well, take that to the bank. And you can't take that to the bank. But from our perspective, it's a very serious flaw. Yeah.
According to Rav, would Rav count the whole fact as Mishapara, like he can still get cured, despite him being like invasive and allowed, like halachically be allowed to do it? Would Rav still view it as like a Mishapara?
No, Mishapara is worse than Mechusar Amar. Whereas there are different levels here. Whereas Mishapara, and we'll have to, we'll maybe talk about that a little bit more next time, but Mishapara is basically saying, right, if you are, and we don't feel it that much. From our perspective, right, that there's a curse, right? But from their perspective, if you're in Beit Din, and you know, the Rabbanim in Beit Din are cursing you with a curse and saying what your action is the equivalent of, moral equivalent of the act of stone, the act of mabul, etc., that's pretty heavy stuff. If you say, listen, Mechusrei Amana, you're acting in bad faith. That's not good, but it's not as bad as that. Right? And again, keep it in mind, there's a verbal agreement, and then there's sometimes that you've done an action that shows your commitment. Right? So that you have to keep that distinction in mind. Okay. So that's the machloket. Why do I say, by the way, that dalet is so important? Okay, I didn't ask you to pay attention to it in the Makorot sheet, but we'll come back. You know, we'll come back to it. But just to mention, you know, here, let's say you took the dalet out, and it was just itmar. Could that make a difference? The answer is yes. Why? Okay, so I'll give you the answer there too. In this case, let's take Sam's question. Okay. And we'll skip to the end of the sheet. If the prices change, is there mechusrei amana or not? In other words, I made an agreement with you. Let's take this real estate deal. It doesn't happen overnight in real estate. So he was clearly being dishonest. But let's say I make an agreement with someone, right? And I say that we're going to, I don't know. Obviously, the futures market doesn't quite work this way. But I'm going to buy, you know, crude oil. Okay, you go, you pull out your phone, and all of you can do that. In a second, you can find out what the going futures market rate for crude oil is. I haven't looked for a while, so let's say, for argument's sake, it's $53 a barrel. Okay, make the agreement, and now, right? The there's an attack on a tanker overnight in the Persian Gulf, and so the Saudi oil facility is missile attacked by the Houthi rebels in Yemen, right? Whoever it is, and so now overnight there's a spike in prices. So the futures dealer, who hasn't made the contract, it was an oral agreement, says, listen, things changed overnight. It happens. I'm not going to give it to you for you know, $53, when now I can get $70 a barrel. So, does this Mechusrei Amana apply or not? What do you think? From just the few lines of Gemara that we read, what would you say?
Machloket.
Everyone agree with that? So it depended on the Dalet. Why would it be dependent on the Dalet? If you have di'itmar, should there be Mechusrei Amana in that case? Well, you'd say machloket because Rav would say no. Right? What would Rabbi Yochanan say in that case?
Yes.
He would also say no, based on what we learned later.
Would he say no if I have di'itmar?
Yeah.
No, he'd say yes. Why do I say yes? Think about it. What was the case that Rav Kahana was talking about?
The linen prices changed.
They went up. Right? So there were no tankers in the Gulf. Right? They're, you know, Rav Kahana was living in modern-day Iraq. So there wasn't an oil crisis, but there was a linen crisis. Okay? They missile attacked, you know, fabric factories. Okay? So suddenly there was a spike in linen prices. Okay? Good. So now, if the Mechusrei Amana doesn't apply in a case of a price change, right? So would it only be Rav Shita? Or would it also be Rabbi Yochanan Shita that says it's okay? So that's all dependent on that Dalet. Because if it's di'itmar, because it was said, right? So then Rav was saying his position, right? Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Because this is the case, right? You, Rav Kahana, came to me, Rav, and asked me, what's the halacha? So I say, on that 80%, you're in the clear, right? So, why? Because I, Rav, say that Ein Behem Mishum Mechusrei Amana. If you had gone to Rabbi Yochanan, he would have told you, Yesh Becham Mechusrei Amana. Di'itmar, because this is what the machloket is. Right? Whereas, if it's only Itmar, okay, so if you're going to say that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't say that there is Mechusrei Amana in this case, which we saw, right, or you saw, take a look at the back of the sheet, there's a big machloket Rishonim, but I just gave you sort of the bottom line of it in the Ramah, right? Ramah says, Afa pishet varim belomot yakol lach zorbo. So even though if I haven't given the money, I can back out of the deal. Ain't sarach lekabela mishapara, and there's no condemnation of the mishapara that exists. Mikol makom ra'uy la'adam la'amod b'diburo af b'shlo asa shum kinyan. Nevertheless, a person should keep his word, even if he hasn't made any transaction whatsoever. Rak dvarim ba'alma, he just made an agreement. The cholach ozer bo, anyone who does it to back out. Ben lokeach, ben mocher, ein rochachav, min nocher emenu. So, it doesn't matter whether it's the buyer, it doesn't matter whether it's the seller. Both sides, I made an agreement, I can't change my mind. I've made an agreement. Vahane mile b'chatara. However, the Ramah says that only applies when? What's chatara?
One
tariff, one price. Well, the prices haven't changed. I've changed my mind. Right? As I went to sleep overnight, I slept on it, and I want to change. I want to back out. Right? I don't want to buy this, even though I made that agreement. I've betrayed Tare, but if the facts change and now there are two different prices, in other words, if there's something objective to explain why one side or the other would back out, okay, you're right. We made an agreement, but that was based on the situation yesterday. The situation has changed. Right? However, chol haomer latet l'chaveiro matana muetet v'lo natnalo. However, anyone who says, and this is based at the end of the Gemara, skip that line for a moment. The Yesh Omrim, right? The next line. The Yesh Omrim. I'm skipping the line about Matana right now. Da'afilu betrei tare asur lachzor. There are those who say that even with two prices, it's forbidden. In other words, even though objective facts have changed, I have made a commitment, and therefore it's forbidden for me to change. The im chazar bo yesh bo mishum chusar emana. Vechen nire ikar. And that is the Rama says, that's the primary halachic approach, that it would be usur, even though the facts change. By the way, the Shulchan Aruch, who is well aware of the machloket, doesn't bring the machloket. Do you think that implies? You know, he doesn't say it. He talks about the din of mechusrei amana, right? He quotes the Rambam. We'll say it's the Rambam. The Rambam also doesn't mention it. What do you think the Rambam feels, right? If I take a look at Hilchot Mechira, number 5, Hanosev and Hotem b'dvarim bilvad areza ra'uy lo modlo b'diburo af apishalo lo kach min adamim klum v'lo rasham v'lo hiniach mashkon. I did nothing. I just gave my word. I should keep my word. V'chol achozer bo ben lokeach ben mocher av abishenu chayev l'kabel misha para areza mechusrei amana v'en ruach hachamim nochemen. Right? That's the Rambam. He doesn't talk about anything about prices. So what do you think? Prices change. Does the Rambam say that it's Mechusrei Amana, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. He doesn't make any distinction. Right? If I made, right, as I said, I meant what I said, right? A frum Jew is faithful 100%. That's it. We're elephants. Okay, that's what we are. Okay, that is the, that's what the Rambam says. So, that's Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. That's saying even though there was a change, that's based on this Gemara, because the Rambam presumably has that Dalet de Itmar. This is where the Machloket is. Yeah, so.
So what's the clarification if somebody does change? So see, it's not Mishabara, it's not Kastam and Mura. So just like,
in what case?
In the case of the guy changing his mind, even if, like, according to the...
According to Rav?
No, according to the Rambam, you said...
According to the Rambam, so that's Mishum Mechusrei Amana. It doesn't matter, right? What the if I've made a commitment, that commitment is binding. I gave my word, and things changed overnight, right? As, like I said, you could say, well, boy, am I lucky I didn't make that deal, because you know if I made the deal right before the tanker attack. Boy, I would have lost a lot of money. Right? Good thing that I didn't. No. It was a tanker attack. Things changed. But you're giving your word morally, ethically, is the equivalent of making a kenyan. In a court of law, you lose. But in the court of law above, you will win. Because that's what you're supposed to do. You gave your word. Even if things change, you should keep your word. Yeah.
What happens if you make the deal with the guy about the linen? So let's say it's like 50 shekel, and then overnight all the linen in the world's prices go up, so you change your market price to go up to follow what the linen pricing should be. So is it for that deal, are you allowed to increase the price, or is it
no,
for all the rest of the linen?
That's exactly the machloket. In other words, Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, Rav would say, if this is the case, the prices went up, that's what happened that's more or less what happened with Rav Kana. So if you want to, all future purchases, by all means, use the new price. But I agreed with you at the lower price, you have to keep your word on it. Okay? Rav says no. Rav says it was just a verbal agreement, and talk is cheap. Things change. Yeah.
So then, but to your case about the real estate person, your agreement was based on a price, and then basically there's now a new agreement that you didn't agree to. So then,
because he changed the price.
Exactly. So that wouldn't.
Right. I don't have to keep my word on it anymore because I made we made an agreement, and now suddenly prices. Let's say this was the following scenario. Right, that we made the agreement, and that it wasn't that he changed the price on the development, right? But that all there is a market price changed, right? There was some kind of index, and that index changed overnight. Every month on the 15th of the month, the index recalibrates itself, and then we made the agreement on the 14th. but we didn't sign the contract, then I would be the one who can't back out if the price went up. Right? And if the price went down, he would be the one who can't back out, right? Because we both have that interest. But here, it was just simply his changing the price. Right? So that would be his violation of quid trust. Yeah?
So what if the beat your loss to not raise the price? So if the oil prices, they go up, mm-hmm. which means that in order to buy more oil, to sell, you'd have to make more money. If you were to sell at the previous market rate, then you wouldn't be able to buy more oil to sell to more consumers.
Correct.
So even if that's your loss, you still can.
Right. Absolutely. Right, because I made the agreement. Now, you can ask, where does this is clearly, by the way, the background of the society seems to be a more command-based price system than, let's say, exists in our economy. All right? Though, as I said, there could be certain things where you have a clear market price for something. Right? If I send, if I make an agreement with a stockbroker to buy, because right now Apple is selling at whatever it's selling at, and I say, okay, I want you to buy it at this current price, and then he, decides to wait the next day, and it's gone up or gone down, and he wants to charge me the new price, that would be his problem, perhaps, because he's made the agreement, again, within the context. But most things, or many things, there isn't a set market price, but... So we'd have to play that based on that also. Yeah?
If we had a deal and the market price changed to where it was advantageous for you, the deal to go through, but not for me, but for, let's say, some reason you wanted to back out, is it only the person who would... the change would be affecting?
If I'm backing out, let's say the price, I'm the seller. And prices have gone up. And so it's to... and so now you are the buyer, and you say, listen, I know that I bought in at this lower price, right? But I am willing to back out, or willing to pay you the higher price. And so then, I think even Rabbi Yochanan would agree that there's no machus re'amah. But you're saying, listen, I want to be fair to you, and I know, right, maybe the person who is the merchant is more strapped for cash than the buyer is, etc., right? Whatever the situation. If the buyer, the chusra amana, and in general, when we're dealing with this, again, it's trust between the two of us, right? So if you are, in effect, saying, I understand the circumstances, right? And if I were to say, no, it's fine. I'm totally honest. This is what I agreed on. And you say, no, you don't understand. I really don't want to buy it, right? If you have this, right? I can't force you to give me the money. It's like, whatever. But 99.9999% of the cases, it's going to be the person who's benefiting who's going to be the one backing out, and that's where the Mechus Re'aman is. Yeah, we're beginning to run out of time. Yeah,
so in a case where the factors don't change, the guy just changes his mind about the price, like the last one, then does Rav agree with Rav Yochanan are they the same, that there is Chusra Amana?
I didn't understand the question. Say it again?
In the case where where the factors don't change, like the worldwide prices go up, then there's no Machoket.
Okay, so... Let's say the factors didn't change. Would Rav allow you, right? I've been talking about till now, factors change, and I said this is the two shitot in the Ramah, and that depending on whether you have that di itmar or not, or it's just itmar, that would make a difference, right? Because di itmar is saying this is where the machloket is. So now Simcha's asking in the opposite direction. Let's say everything is the same. And just that I wake up in one night, and I wake up one morning and I say, you know what? I don't like him. I want back out. Or I do like it, but I know I agreed to sell my car, but I decided, I can't really get by without a car. Right? Whatever the reason, the price hasn't changed. So, would Rav say that's Mechus Re'amana? So that's dependent on the continuation of the Gemara. Let's finish the Gemara and try to understand it. Okay? So here, let's go. So the Gemara now determines, based on this Meitveh, we have this Machloket, Right? And now we have a question on the case. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ma Talmud Lomar, Hin Tzedek, Fahalo, Hin Bechlal Eifa. Hin is a smaller subset of an Eifa. I won't get into the exact percentages right now. It says Eifa Tzedek, Hin Tzedek. So if I already know that you're supposed to have a just weight, meaning that you don't put your finger on the scale when you're weighing whatever you're doing, right? So then, so why does the Torah have to say both of them? So Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda has a little drasha. Ela lomar lecha sheyeh hen shelcha tzedek v'lav shelcha tzedek. Right? When you say yes, it should be yes, it should be true. By the way, tzedek also, tzedek translates as?
Honest.
Righteousness.
Honest.
Wrong. Take a look. Every single time, I had to do this for, don't think that I'm such a bucky in Targum. I had to do this for a paper back when I was in a Bible course. But anyway, it doesn't matter. But if you take a look, tzedek, invariably, in all of the translations, Targum, Greek translations, etc., always translates as truth. Tzedek, tzedek, tirdof, means, right, pursue the truth. So hin shelcha tzedek, your yes is true. Your lo is true. Yes?
And I thought it's justice because I have like the Korin Siddur next. So it's like the little translation.
Correct. So their translation of tzedek as justice is a, if you will, a later translation. And so we're in effect saying that our justice should be truth. Okay, but that's where it's coming from. Really, it's a, but the closest, it's a, you can understand why we want our justice to be truth. So you basically say, my yes means yes, my no means no. It's a drasha, right? Because hin is a measurement. Hen is a, not even necessarily pure Hebrew, right? Meaning yes, okay? But it's a play on the word, and it's a, that's the drasha. So, why is that a mitzvah? Because who's that against?
Against
Rabbi Yochanan.
Rabbi Yochanan against Rav.
Rabbi Yochanan.
Who says Rav?
Yeah, Rav.
Who says Rav? Three people? Four people? Who says Rabbi Yochanan? Okay, it's against Rav. Because Rav was the one who said that Dvarim ain lehem mishum chusrei amana. If I say hen shelcha tzedek, your yes has to be yes, right? Correct? Not rocket science, boys. Okay? So it has to be that it is yes. Okay? So it's against Rav. So what's Abaye's answer? Amar Abaye, hahu shelo yidaber echad bepev echad belim. What does that mean?
Can't say one thing and mean another.
Meaning that Rav wasn't talking about a situation where you said one thing and meant another, but rather. What could are the two possibilities? So let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Shelo yidaber echad bepeh v'chulei." Right, everyone see it? About the seventh thin line. Shelo yidaber echad bepeh v'chulei. B'sha'a shehu omer hadibur lo yiyeh b'dato l'shanot. Aval im nishtane ashar la'achar zman v'hu chozer bo l'fi shinui ashar ein kan chisorei amana. Rashi says, shouldn't have, when I say something to you, I should be having this in mind. But if the prices should change afterwards, so that's not a problem. Right? That's what Rashi says. What's that implying, by the way, in Simcha's case? Simcha's asked, what happens if the prices didn't change and I changed my mind? According to Rashi, would that be Mechusrei Amana, yes or no? According to Rav?
No.
Yes.
Maybe. Right? Because he says, what's the question? Right? The question is, Hein shelcha tzedek, lav shelcha tzedek, Rav, you said that you could change your mind. So Rashi doesn't say, no, there's a difference between when I intentionally lie to you, right? That's echad bepev, echad belev. I know, right, that I have no intention of selling this to you, but I have to string you along. Right? Or I want to string you along. Right? Because I want to see your face tomorrow when you come with the money and I say, no. I just want to see that. I want to see you crestfallen. Okay? And, you know, makes me feel good. Right? So that's the idea, right? Ha! Right? So that could have been what Rashi said. Right? So that's echad b'peh ve'echad b'lev. But if, on the other hand, you know what, we agreed on the sale, and then I woke up the next day and said, I really need my car. I can't manage without a car. And I feel badly that I told you something yesterday, but I just changed my mind. It happens. Right? Rashi could have answered it that way. He didn't have to talk about two different prices. The fact that Rashi includes two different prices implies that he feels that everyone agrees, even Rav, that if circumstances don't change, once you say something, you're bound by your word. The only machloket between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rashi, is if the circumstances change. Rabbi Yochanan says, even if the circumstances change, you are a person of your word. You understand life changes, things happen, but it doesn't matter. You said your word, right? And I meant, you know, I joked about, you know, Horton, right? The elephant. And if you don't have Bacchus and Dr. Seuss, get it. So, but nevertheless, I'm joking about that situation, right? Okay. But it's true. In other words, basically, Rabbi Yochanan says, we really should be Horton the elephant. We really should be sitting on that nest, no matter what that lazy, mazy bird does. Doesn't matter. You should be keeping your word. Right? That is what everything expects that you have to be doing. Rav says, what do you mean? He agreed to sit on the egg for a couple of minutes. Right? He didn't expect her to go flying off to wherever. It's raining now. All things are happening. Right? You don't have to keep your word under those circumstances. Things changed. Rabbi Yochanan says yes. Rav says no. Right? That's the machloket that's going on here. But only if the circumstances change. If you said, you know, somebody says, can you please... forgetting about the transaction. But it basically says, can you do something for me for the next 10 minutes? And then after 7 minutes, I say, I'm tired of this, and I walk away. Even Rav would agree, Rashi says, that that's Mishum Mechusrei Amana. Maybe I can't take you to court over it, but you're not a person of, you're a person of bad faith. Right? Whereas Rabbi Yochanan, whereas if Rashi hadn't included that, Rav would say, talk is cheap, I said something, but I don't, you know, but I didn't make that commitment. Right? That commitment doesn't hold. So that's a very important point that Simcha raised. I'm glad that you brought it up. So this is the Gemara. I'm going to skip a little bit because of the time that's left to us. And where the Gemara goes back and forth and says that it's essentially, or it could be, a machloket between the Tanaim, not just a machloket between Rav and Shmuel. I just want to come to the last case, and then look at the just to have this, because this is important. At the end of the Gemara says that this applies if you make a commitment to give a gift. Right, skipping down to about line 30 or so, and here the Amar Bia, where the Gemara says, "Ha'Amar Rabba Bar Barchan Amar Biyochna, Ha'Omer L'Chaveira, Matana Ani Noten Lacha, Yachol Lachzorba." Right, so if I say that I'm going to give you a gift, so I can change my mind. Pshita. So Mara says, that's obvious, yachol. Of course you can. You didn't. All I said was that that I'm going to give you a gift. There's nothing binding me to that legally. So the Gemara says, no, ela mutar lachzarbo. You're allowed to, meaning there's absolutely no moral sanction against changing my mind. I said, I'm going to give you a gift. You want this? You know, who wants this phone? Right?
Me.
Okay, it's yours. Ah, no, it's not. So that, Rabbi Yochanan says, is mutar. So one second. Why isn't that a problem of v'chusrei amana? Umode, Amar Papa, umode Rabbi Yochanan b'matana mu'etet desamcha datayu. So here we say something which is counterintuitive. If I say it's a little gift, do I have to keep my word according to Rabbi Yochanan?
Yeah.
Yes. If it's a big gift, I don't. Why? The question is, right, this is Mechusrei Amana, is there are two sides to the Mechusrei Amana. One side is my keeping a word, and the other is what you think I am and what your expectations of this agreement are. So what the Gemara is saying is that if I say something and it's totally outlandish and everyone should understand it, even if you didn't understand it this way, right? But you should have understood that I wasn't serious, so then there's no Mechusrei Amana. But if it's a small item, so then people talk about giving gifts, small gifts, and they mean it. And there's a reasonable expectation on the part of the person who's supposed to get it that he should get it. And then it becomes Mechusrei Amana. My niece helped me many years ago. She'd just gotten her driver's license. I think I told the story to my shir. And I said, I'm looking for something. And I said to her, and you know, and she, well, what are you going to give me if I help you find it? I said, if you know what, if you help me find it, I'll give you a Toyota. And she just got her license, so she started looking for it, right? And she found it. And I said, okay. And I pulled out, I happened to have it, a little Yoda doll. And I said, here's a toy Yoda, right? That's what I meant. Right? So there's no Mechusrei Amana there, right? Because, right, you really thought I was going to buy you a car, right, for helping me find, it happened to be something which was, you know, it was something which was pretty valuable, but still, right, you think I'm going to buy you a car because you helped me find something, right? No, but if I had said to her, here's a toy Yoda, you know, if you want it, and I'll give it to you, then that would be Mechusrei Amana if I didn't. That's the case, okay? So that's what Rav is saying. Now, take a look at Tosfot, top Tosfot. I didn't ask you to take a look at it because I didn't want to, I think it would, even though it's only one line, it would get things a little confusing. Tosfot says, Mother of Yochanan Matan Muetet, Biyokir Nami Hame Kemo Matan Muetet. Yokir Nami, what does Tosfot mean by that? He says, if prices change, it goes up, that's like Matan Muetet. What does that mean? Right?
And then it becomes just more valuable, it becomes a great present.
If why does it become a small gift?
With the price go up.
Because remember, why is a small gift Mechusrei Amana?
Because the other person expects you to give it.
Because the other person expects you to give it. Which means that what Tosfot is saying, that Rabbi Yochanan said his din even when the prices change. Okay? Which is, as I said, this is the way that the Rambam paskins, this is the way that the Shulchan Aruch paskins, this is the way that the Ramah says after he gives the two deyot, he says this is the chen nireh ikar, this is the way it should be. What's Tosfot saying here? He's saying, in a transaction, if you're dealing with people who are basically trustworthy, right? So we know life changes, but you gave me your word. I can trust you on this. Right? Now it leaves it open to the possibility of, let's say there was a overnight 100% change. Wasn't that, it was, you know, the prices went up a little bit, $2 a barrel. But suddenly it went up $100, you know, 50 to 100 overnight for whatever the reason. So then maybe there's no possible. Nobody would expect someone to give up that kind of money, maybe. Or you say, no, once you give a word, that is, you know, it doesn't matter how much, right? It's because we know what will happen. We don't know what will happen. Excuse me. We don't know what will happen, but I do know that you gave me your word, and that's what's most important. Okay? I'm just going to take 2 more minutes. I know it's 12:30. I'm just going to take 2 more minutes, literally. I pointed out that the Rambam puts different parts of this in different areas of halacha. Right? Some of it's in Hilchot Mechira, and some of it's where?
In
Deot. In Deot. Why is that significant? Or is it significant? So the answer is yes, it's significant. Why is it significant? What does Deot deal with?
No judges.
What?
No judges.
Not judges. Deot deals with
knowledge.
Ethics. Right? In Sefer Mada. Right? When the Rambam talks about, there are two different planes that you have to be looking at on this. And then, you know, unfortunately, I ran out of time. I don't have time to get into this in its fullest sense. But you have to be looking at it. This is what I think the Rambam is trying to tell us by doing this. He's saying, listen, there's a side of, if you will, moral issues that are attached to transactions. That's the chira. When I make a commitment, so it might not be binding in a court of law, but it's binding in this, in human interaction, it's binding in God's eyes. That's one level. Even the moral ethical level in that regard is still in the realm of commerce. But then there's a different level entirely. If you will, that's the batana muetet side. What did, like what I said, what did you mean? Right? I said Toyota, right? Did I really mean it? And you know that I don't mean to give you a car. Or you should know that. Okay. But there's another side. Another side, which is, what kind of person are you? That's just ethics. That's not commerce. That's not even Vasita Yasha Vahato Benea Shemokecha. That is, are you a person who speaks the truth? From you know, there are two different, it's two different angles. The Rambam is demanding that we look at this. There's the angle, if you will, from the observer. That's the Hilchot Mechira. But then there's the angle of the person himself. What kind of integrity do you have? Not based on expectations, but based on your own expectation of yourself, what you're made out of. That's what the Rambam puts in Hilchot Deot. Even if there is no moral sanction on the part of, you know, Rav, in effect, this is where he does it. Rav, when he does that, there's no bachusar amana. But if I say something to you, and I don't mean it, so Rav, let's say, says there's no sanction in terms of the moral side, the commerce side. But you know if you meant it when you said it. Things didn't change. Did you really mean it when you said it or not? If you say one thing and you mean another, so even if we say, so that's echad bepeve, echad belev. That's something which means that you are just not a good person. Right? So there are multiple levels here, and you have to be looking at the transactions, and you have to be looking at your own self from those different perspectives. Right? Ultimately, if you're a person of Hilchot Deyot, you don't have to worry about Hilchot Mechira. Right? But not all of us are people of Hilchot Deyot. And then we're saying, even if you're not a person who is as truthful and as honest as maybe you should be, right? You still have a moral, ethical side in terms of commerce. Right? So there are those two different levels. But Rabotai, you know, be people of Hilchot Deyot. Read those parts of the halacha. Ask yourself, am I really a person who speaks exactly what he means? Or are there times that I'm, you know, engage in a little subterfuge to make things work out a little bit better for myself? Do I engage in that kind of conduct at all? Or do I not engage in that kind of conduct? Right? The Rambam says quite clearly, and it's not only the Rambam, right? Don't engage in that kind of conduct. Be people who are hin shulchat tzedek, lav shulchat tzedek. When you say yes, mean yes. When you say no, mean no. There's an old joke. This one close. The observation, I think it was already Talleyrand who made this. It says, if a diplomat says yes, he means
no.
Maybe. If he says maybe,
he
means
no.
No. If he says no, then he's not a diplomat. Okay? So don't be diplomats. Right? You can say no, you can say yes. But if you say yes, mean yes. Right? Don't mean maybe. Okay. Well, go to Mitch.
Have a little bit. Just be there, floating around.